Ephesians 6, verse 15. We are in a series called Under Armour, engaged in spiritual warfare, enabled for victory. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times we forget that the war we are in is indeed a spiritual war. It's not a physical war. It's a spiritual war. Many of the physical issues that we have in our lives come from the spiritual realm. I'll go ahead and explain. But oftentimes we see and address those physical issues by physical means because, well, it just makes sense for us to do that. I'll give you an explanation. Let's say that you have a cut. Let's say that you are cut. You have a laceration. And you notice immediately what's going on the outside. Basically, because you are bleeding. And you do everything you can to stop the bleeding. And so you apply pressure to the wound to get your blood to clot. Most people are able to do that with a minor cut. You put a Band-Aid on it and you never pay much more attention to it. But do you realize what's going on internally to see what goes on that you want externally? When you receive a cut, there are all kinds of things working inside your body. Okay, all kinds of things inside. Blood clotting, scab forming, your immune system, it starts to kick in. Did you know, and I learned this, did you know that your body produces a fluid that sometimes oozes from the wound? It is gross. It oozes from the wound. But that ooze exists to clean the area naturally. That's neat. But how about the reality, though, while your body's trying to heal? How about the reality that underneath the skin, inside the body, there are blood vessels opening up to bring oxygen and nutrients back to that wound? White blood cells, they're fighting against germs to keep, you know, from disrepairing the wound. Tissue growth and rebuilding is going on. Scar formation. All that is happening when you get a laceration, when you get a cut. But here's the thing that many don't realize. If those things don't happen on the inside, the bleeding is not going to stop. The wound may not get any better. It may get worse. It may get infected. It could spread deeper and around your body. And you know what? You can apply all the bandages you want. You can. If there's infection, if there's germs, if there's disease inside your body, if there's poor circulation, you may never fully heal up until what's addressed on the inside takes place. We oftentimes address physical issues we go through by physical means. But what may need to happen in those physical issues is something super spiritual, something with the Lord. Think about this. Your word choices, those are things that come outside your mouth. That's a physical thing. Your word choices are physical choices in a conflict, an altercation with a spouse or with a parent or with a sibling or friend or even a church family member. That reveals the reality of a spiritual conflict. Okay? Maybe the words are physical, but if the words that come out of your mouth are damaging, if the words that come out of your mouth are vulgar or insensitive or harmful or hurtful, there's a good chance that something is going on inside of you. Right? Maybe some hatred. Maybe some jealousy, maybe some envy, maybe some bitterness, a quarrelsome spirit. You see, there's something going on the inside. Just because what comes on the outside doesn't necessarily mean that it's a physical thing. It may be a spiritual thing. If the response to your anger or your aggravation is physical or abusive or violent, there's something major going on inside. All right? It's not just because coffee was spilt all over your new outfit. Right? It's not just because a child made a mistake. It's not just because you had a bad day at work. It's not just because this person or that person gets under your skin and onto your bad side. There's something spiritual happening, right? How about this? Your dependency upon a substance like alcohol, like drugs, like narcotics, even nicotine. All right. Your addiction causes you to notice the physical. But inside of you, there's a spiritual battle raging in pursuit of your self-control. You don't always notice it that way. In pursuit of your satisfaction. In pursuit of who's going to be the God and center of your life. You say, that's not an issue. I can quit anytime. Well, why haven't you quit? Right? Because you physically can. A spiritual transformation must take place. How about this? those loose, untamed emotions that are attracted to another individual, and you see them through media outlets or through a computer or a magazine or a phone or television or movies or social media. Is it just to fulfill an attraction? How about those same loose emotions that you may have towards somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband or somebody else's future husband or wife? Talking to teens now about going beyond purity into something impure, you know, in a relationship. Is that something just physical or sexual, or is that a spiritual battle that's raging inside your soul that's trying to take over, you know, your lust or your marriage or your spouse? Could it be that there's an attack going on, a war going on inside your soul for faithfulness to the Word of God, for faithfulness to your spouse, for faithfulness to purity? It's not always physical. Sometimes, a lot of times, if not all the time, there's something going on inside. How about this? How about those feelings of despair, hopelessness, defeat, depression? Is it really just something going on inside your head? Is it really something that can just be based off of what you have been through, maybe as a child or a spouse or a parent? And I'm not saying that those factors don't contribute. And I'm not making light of what you have been through in your life. I don't want to be insensitive to that subject at all. But could it be that there's something more sensitive than the physical taking place? Is it something deeper waging within your soul? Whispers from your enemy, attacks from your enemy, lies from your enemy, telling you that he wants control of your mind and your emotions. If he can get into your thinking, remember, he'll get into your living. And how about those attractions to those things in the world, the pleasures in the world, an addiction to money or wealth or material possessions, the good life? Do you really think that the issue is just a desire to have nice things? Or could it be an idol? A spiritual battle going on for who wants to be Lord of your life. Who's going to be the God of your life? Where your heart is where your treasure is, like we'll talk about tonight at church. You can't serve two masters. One of those will. You see what I'm saying? Physical things aren't always physical things. Sometimes there's an inward struggle going. Every physical, visible problem we have is almost always addressed in physical ways. Why? Because it's the world we're used to living in. We're used to fixing things. We're used to functioning in the physical. We are used to the physical, what we can touch, what we can see, what we can taste, what we can hear and smell. We're trying to address the cure without even noticing the cause. And you get into Ephesians chapter 6, and you see that the danger that we face in our warfare is that oftentimes we try to fight the spiritual war physically with our flesh and our blood. And we see that we'll never be able to conquer that battle physically. We need a relationship, a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, in the spiritual realm, you have access to a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who is your life, who is your salvation, who bled and died, and who out of amazing grace did everything possible for you to address not only what you go through physically, but also what you go through spiritually as well. And Christ has given you the victory. Christ has enabled you the victory so that you can overcome what is not just merely physical, but what is also spiritual through spiritual warfare. But the truth is, you'll never be able to conquer what is going on spiritually and invisibly unless you're going to fight it spiritually. Okay? So, I don't really care how many rehabs you may check into, or how many secular recovery programs you attend, or how many professionals you see. If there is a spiritual war inside of your soul, and it's not fought with Jesus, if it's never addressed by what's going on inside, you won't have victory. You won't. So why not have complete victory over sin, over your enemy, by putting on spiritual armor? That's what we've been studying about. So God tells us right here at Ephesians chapter 6. Let's begin. Let's go ahead and start in verse 10, actually. This is the preface to verse 15. Look at verse 10. Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Then he says, "Put on the whole armor, the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Remember, it's not a physical battle. This is a super spiritual battle. Therefore, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Verse 14, last week we studied, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now here we are in our text today, verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Up to this point, we have learned that we are in a war. I gave you three realizations that you're in a war. You've got a call to war, you're in a conflict in this war, and you've got an opportunity to conquer this war by suiting up, by armoring up in the armor of God. I preached on the belt of truth, and what that symbolizes, that means that we're ready for warfare. It means we have a responsibility to live a life of truth in the warfare, but it also means that we've got a responsibility to renew our minds daily in God's truth to overcome the lies of the enemy. Last week, I preached about the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness symbolizes Christ's righteousness over our lives, but also the call that we have to live a righteous life with Christ. And the caution, we ended on this, the caution of not living a righteous life. It's devastating. And so today we move on to the shoes. The shoes. God wants to talk to you about the shoes that you wear. Verse 15. Paul writes, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, let's talk about everybody's shoes for a moment, can we? Let's talk about shoes. There are shoes for every type of occasion, every type of activity imaginable. There are dress shoes. There are casual shoes. There are athletic shoes. There's virtually a shoe, okay, for athletics, for every individual sport that there is. There are work shoes. There are work boots. There are leisure shoes, not to mention sandals, flip-flops, Crocs. There are high tops, low tops, high heels, steel-toed shoes, all kinds of shoes for every single occasion. And I'm sure that most of the ladies here have their fair share of shoes in the house. Amen. So I would like for us to have a time of confession and honesty today. So let's take a poll. Let's just see how many shoes you got. I want to know, ladies, how many of you have at least 20 pairs of shoes at home? Majority rule. I want to know, okay, let's go a bit further. How many of you have at least 30 pairs of shoes at home? Oh, my goodness. Okay, how about this? How many of you have at least 40 pairs of shoes in your... Now, that just ain't right. That is ungodly. What do you do? What do you do with all of those shoes? What do you do? Paul says that there is one pair of shoes, like one pair of shoes, ladies. One. There's one pair of shoes that you're going to need if you're going to fight in your spiritual life, in your spiritual walk. You will have victory over your enemy and his vices in the spiritual war if you'll wear these shoes. And look, these are gospel-carrying, defending shoes. Right? And you can tell a lot about a person based on the spiritual shoes that they are wearing. Paul writes, having shod their feet, having feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Every piece of spiritual armor has a name. Have you noticed that? Every one of them has a name. There's a belt that's called truth. There's a breastplate called righteousness. And then there's shoes or sandals or boots called the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, for the Roman soldier, what he wore was essential for combat. No matter how powerful the breastplate was, no matter how powerful or how tight the belt was, these would not do much good at all if you could not stand, if you were falling around. So in this detailed list of spiritual armor, Paul says that our feet should be shod. Everybody say shod. Shod. You don't know what that means. Your feet be shod. It's the past tense of shoe, okay? Your feet shoed with the preparation of the gospel peace. Your feet equipped. Your feet armed. All right? The Roman sandal or shoe or boot was essential. If this is what it was, it was essentially a sole with thick leather straps held firmly at the foot or at the bottom. It would often be studded or hobnailed, and on the bottom of the shoe were these thick pieces of metal. They're supposed to be spikes, okay, enabling the soldier to be sure-footed in battle. So when they were in a conflict, if they were in warfare, they had a foundation on which that they could stand in the heat of the battle and also on slippery, rocky, harmful terrain. It's a lot like wearing a pair of metal spike cleats on a football field, right? Now these shoes also provided protection to the soldier. As sometimes the enemy, and I learned this, sometimes the enemy would put or place sharpened sticks in the ground at an angle. So if a soldier is running against the enemy, if a soldier came along and he wasn't wearing, you know, proper foot attire, he would suffer a wound to his foot. And you know what? A wound to the foot can make you ineffective in battle. It can actually cause you to become a casualty in combat. You don't realize how awesome your feet are until you don't have any or until they hurt. Paul says on your feet ought to be shoes prepared for the gospel of peace. Paul says you need to have on the right footwear in this battle if you're going to have victory, because the devil, your enemy, would love for you to lose some of the ground that you have gained since you came to know Jesus Christ. He wants you to slip up. He wants you to lose that sense of peace that you have in your relationship with Christ as you serve him. So what can we learn here about having gospel ready feet? I want to share with you a few features about the shoes that we wear in battle. You know, we buy our shoes based on the features that they have, don't we? All right, I'm a Nike kind of guy. And so I've probably owned a pair of Nike tennis shoes since I was in grade school, definitely since I've been able to buy my own. And so we buy shoes based on their features, okay, based on their qualities. You want comfortable shoes, don't you? You want stable shoes, good shoes. You want shoes that have good quality, that are going to last a while. I like my shoes to be a little darker in color so they don't show dirt as much. It's just a feature that I like. But I also like my shoes to fit, don't you? Some of you ladies, all your shoes fit. Time to have a yard sale. When I go to buy shoes, I got to buy them at either one of those big outlets or I got to buy them online because I wear size 13. And you would think that they would make 13s, more 13s than they do. That's absolutely wrong. Okay, four out of the last five pairs, I'm just complaining for a minute. Four out of the last five pairs, all you ladies with 50 pairs of shoes, I got one. So you go to these stores and you go and try on your shoes. I can't do that. All right? And I get offended because all the shoes they have in size 13 look nothing like I want. Right? And all you've got 50 pairs of shoes at home. I know I got issues. You do too. You got 50 pairs of shoes. So Paul talks about some qualities that you like in your shoes. Let's first talk about the priority of the battle shoes. A soldier's shoes are way more important than any shoes that you and I may buy or wear. Their very life depended on them. In ancient warfare, battles were won and lost on your feet. Okay, they didn't have tanks, and they didn't have planes, they didn't have drones, they didn't have Humvees, they didn't have battleships. They fought on their feet. And those battles were won or lost according to the weight of the masses of men that they were facing against, okay? And the heavier the man, the firmer the footing. And one of the most vital things for a soldier wasn't how fast he swung his sword or how skilled he was with a bow and arrow, but how firm he stood when the enemy approached. Unless your footing was good, unless your strength and your stability was sure against the enemy, you could have and you would have become a casualty. So what you put on your feet was just as much a priority as what you put on the rest of your bodies, the other pieces of armor. Some of you say, I don't need shoes. How many of you like to walk around barefooted? Anybody? Yeah? Okay, my boys and my wife don't like to wear shoes either. They'd rather not wear them at all. They make fun of me because I wear my shoes at most points of the day, even the house. Even right before bedtime, I still got my shoes on. Okay, I enjoy wearing my shoes, but not them. In the spiritual arena, you need your shoes. So put your shoes on. No barefootedness allowed. Think about their territory, okay? Let's think about the soldier's territory. Rough roads, hot roads, climbing over jagged rocks, thorns, stream beds. Man, those stream beds, you can really bust it if you go on a stream bed with those rocks, those slick rocks. I've done it before, okay? If you didn't wear the right footwear, your feet could easily become blistered, swollen, cut, infected. You can't fight well on poor feet. And if you can't stand up to fight in battle, you will surely die. And you certainly won't be a benefit to the rest of your team, the rest of your fellow soldiers. Think about the territory, but also think about the tactics of the enemy too. What is Satan's goal? What is Satan's goal when he's tempting you with sin? What is his goal but to cause you to stumble in any regard, right? to cause you to stumble in any regard, whether it be a temptation, whether it be in your flesh, in your mind, in your conscience, in your spirit, in your faith. And if he can disturb, listen to this, if he can disturb your peace with God, if he can get you second guessing your Lord, your relationship with Jesus Christ, the peace that comes with the gospel, that peace that comes with the assurance of your salvation, the peace that comes with trusting in God's plan, in God's provision, in God's power and protection and promises for victory. If Satan can get you to question that, if Satan can get you to stumble, he will cause you to fall. So how many of you have ever been knocked over by the enemy today? How many of you have ever been knocked over off your feet? Maybe he has used circumstances and situations that have knocked you over. Maybe he has used sickness to knock you over. Maybe he has used finances to knock you over. Maybe he has used a failing relationship to knock you over. Maybe he has used temptation or the lure of deception to knock you over. Remember, your enemy will use whatever it takes to cause you to stumble, to cause you to slip, to cause you to lose your standing. So the Lord here says, you need these shoes, these armor sandals, these cleats to give you the sure footing so that you can have victory against your enemy who is constantly challenging the peace that you have with God. How about this? Let's talk about the purpose of these battle shoes. The purpose of these battle shoes. Having shod your feet with the preparation. What's the purpose of these shoes? Paul writes, on your feet is the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word preparation in the original language that the Bible was written means readiness. Means readiness. In the book of Titus, the same word was used to encourage believers to be ready for every good word and deed. A good soldier needs to have his feet ready to march, ready to climb, ready to defend, ready to fight. And in the same way, we as believers, as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be ready to march in Jesus' name. We need to be ready to carry the gospel in Jesus' name, ready to battle the enemy in Jesus' name, ready for victory, ready to defend, ready to defeat your enemy in Jesus' name. Paul says, if your feet are shod, you will be prepared to fight your enemy. Now, remember, these shoes had spikes at the bottom of them to give the soldier sure footing. You want to know why? What's the purpose? It was to keep the soldier stationary in battle so that he was not easily dismantled. He was not easily trodden. The cleat, the spike, gave him sure footing when he was under attack so that the enemy would not knock him down, would not remove him from his place of stability. What Paul is talking about here is being ready to fight against the enemy so that he doesn't knock you over, so that he doesn't blindside you, so that he can't knock you out or down because all you have to stand on is those firm shoes giving you sure-footedness. I want you to know today that the purpose here, though, is not to preach. A lot of people look at this verse and they say, verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, then that means I need to go out and share the good news. That's what that verse means. A lot of people make that mistake. We're going to get to the one offensive weapon that you have, and that is the Word of God. Remember, Paul is still talking here about defense. Defending. This is not a reference to preaching the gospel. This is a reference about fighting battles, okay? Here he is not talking about traveling, even though we would like for the text to mean that. And I understand. I've already heard it today. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings, good things. That is a beautiful passage of scripture. That's in Isaiah 52. That's in Romans chapter 10. I get that. But here, this is not talking about traveling. This is talking about standing firm. This is about defending. Okay, this is not about preaching. This is about defending. This is not about evangelizing the lost. This is about fighting the devil. And so the primary emphasis here is not about our going. This is about our standing. This is about a fight against the enemy's attacks against your peace with God. That is the purpose of these shoes. Let's move on. Next we see here the price of the battle shoes. Now this is when it gets good. Shoes can be awfully expensive, can't they, ladies? You know it. I'm not crazy about spending a lot of money on shoes. Sometimes a person can easily spend $150, on a pair of shoes. I can't do that. I like that buy one get one option. You know, they got it. Rec Room Shoes. Okay, like I said last week, you like a good deal. But I was just looking around, on the internet and found some of the most expensive shoes in the world. Did you, this is great. Did you know that the original ruby red slippers from the movie Wizard of Oz, listen to this price, $666,000. Yeah. How about this pair? Stuart Weitzman's Marilyn Monroe shoes, $1 million. All right, they're laden with crystals that are claimed to have belonged to Marilyn Monroe herself. You women are expensive. Okay. How about this? The most expensive shoe in the world today is from the house of Harry Winston. Again, ruby slippers. Listen to this price. $3 million. All right, they were made for the 50th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz. They were worn by Dorothy herself, Judy Garland. Made with 4,600 rubies that weigh 1,350 carats, in addition to 50 more carats of diamonds. $3 million shoes. What a price. And I looked and looked, and I tried to find some super expensive men's shoes, and all I could find was a $60,000 pair of Air Jordan sneakers and a $50,000 pair of Air Force Ones. Okay, that's modest compared to you $3 million shoes, okay? But just so you know, in 2015, I did find this. There was a men's shoe that sold for $2 million. It was 14,000 full cut round white diamonds, individually set into white gold with a Tom Ford sole, whatever that means. It took 2,000 hours to make $2 million. The price of a pair of shoes. How about the price of the shoes that you wear for Jesus? Let's talk about that for a moment. It says having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Here it goes. With the gospel of peace. These shoes that you wear in this battle, they are eternally priceless. Okay? The marvelous truth about the gospel of peace is that we are at peace with God. That's great. We will talk about that just in a moment, about that peace. But I want you to know about the price that was paid for this peace to actually happen. There was a time, and it could be today too for some of you, but there was a time when we were once enemies of God. We were once alienated from God. We were lost. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were outcast. We were defeated. We were hell-bound because we are sinful people. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us." That was the price paid for you and me. We were once enemies of God. We were captive in our sins. We were bound in our sins. We were eternally separated from God. Do we realize that today? It was just that we were lost. It was just that we were far from God. It was very just that it was impossible for us to be saved. Think about that. There's nothing good in us, okay? Nothing good in us. There's nothing good about us. In our flesh, in our sin, we are sinful, evil children of the devil. So if you're without Jesus today, I hate to say it, it's the truth. If you're without Jesus today, and the Word of God says that the truth will set you free, if you're without the grace of God in your life, Jesus in your life, if you're without a personal relationship with Jesus, you still are bound. You still are an enemy of God. You are not on the side of victory. You are on the side of defeat. Colossians chapter 1 says that we were alienated and enemies in our minds because of our wicked works. But the good news of the gospel of peace is that a price was paid. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved you and me. God, because of his infinite compassion and mercy and grace, died in our place, suffered, bled, and died on a criminal's cross, a cruel cross, a sinner's cross. Christ, because he loves you, paid the ultimate price for your sins and mine by willingly giving his life for you and me, so that today you don't have to worry about whether or not there is any hope, because I can already tell you there's hope in Jesus. Amen. You don't have to worry about today whether or not you're going to spend eternity with God or not. If you have Jesus, if you've accepted the free gift of salvation, if you allow him in your life and heart and make him Lord and Savior, you will have eternal peace with God. That's the price of the gospel. And the price that was paid was infinite. Christ gave his life, shed his blood, body broken, beaten, battered for us, went in and fought the war that we could not fight and win ourselves. What a price he paid so that you could have the gospel of peace shot on your feet.
Amen.
Fourth thing, the peace in the battle shoes. Let's talk about the peace in the battle shoes. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If you know Christ today, you are at peace with God. That should mean something. If you know Jesus today, you are at peace with God, and that peace helps you to stand firm, but also to move forward in the battle. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We who were once enemies of God now have peace with God. Ephesians 2:14, Christ is our peace. Which means for you and for me, I face life and whatever life may bring, though it may be hardship or trial or pain or turmoil or all-out war against the enemy, I face it with Christ as my peace. Therefore, when our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you know what we get to do? We get to stand with confidence. We get to stand in the peace of God's love for us because we realize that we are on the side of God. He is on our side. He is fighting for us, and we should be confident in the fact that God is with us and fight us for us. We have nothing to fear. But listen, folks, I know the reality and the overwhelming possibility of being fearful and faithless, even when you claim to have the peace of God over your life. I know that reality because I've experienced it myself. But fearful is not what I'm supposed to be if I'm called of God and saved of God. I'm not to be fearful. That's not who I am. That's not who you are. As a child of God, we should never fight the enemy in fear. We should fight the enemy in confidence and peace and joy and in victory. Paul said in Colossians 1:21 and 22, Christ has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. The good soldier of Jesus Christ never should stand in fear of any enemy, for he is standing in the very power and peace of God Almighty. When Satan comes to attack, and here's what I want to say. When Satan comes to attack, and I know that he will, Satan doesn't care that you have peace with God. Satan doesn't care that you have peace with God. As a matter of fact, Satan wants you to question your peace with God. Satan wants you to question whether or not you are in a relationship with God. Satan wants you to question the validity of God's care and provision in your life. Satan wants you to live in fear. He wants you to forget who you are and whose you are. He wants you to forget that you can stand firm in the fight, but you have feet that have been shod with the gospel of peace. And because the Word of God tells me that I have feet that are shod with the gospel of peace, that I've been saved, that I've been made new, that I've been redeemed, I've been set free. That means that I have peace with God. I'm made alive in Christ by his righteousness, by his power, and I have peace with him to fight the enemy and his tactics. Here's the last thing. Let's talk about the power in the battle shoes. The power in the battle shoes. Now, why do we even go through all of this? Why do we fight? What's the purpose in the warfare? Look back at Ephesians 6, verse 11. I put on the full armor of God. I shod my feet with preparation of the gospel of peace so that I may stand against the wiles of the enemy. That's the purpose. And that is the power. If you look at verse 13, what we read, and we do this, we fight in this battle so that we can withstand. The Bible says in verse 13, we can withstand in the evil day. The evil day is the day the enemy attacks. There's gospel peace bringing power onto you when you choose to go under armor with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You are going to be able to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and in his perfect peace. There is not an attack out there. There is not an accusation out there that Satan can ever thrust at you that you can't diminish through the powerful peace of God that's within your heart and soul through Jesus Christ. Romans 8:31, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 37, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You are already a conqueror of the enemy. You are an overcomer in the warfare. Now live in His peace. The truth is today that you are loved by God deeply and you can have the confidence to walk in His peace. So stand firm in the attacks. The truth is, in Christ, you are saved by His grace. And we need to be confident that we can stand strong against the enemy. The truth is that if you are His child, if you are under His care, He has promised to stand with you. He has promised to protect you. He has promised to keep you, to defend you, to give you the confidence that you need as you face warfare. Peace of mind, peace and confidence, peace in your soul, peace in Christ Jesus. So the challenge today is, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that gives us one more piece of armor that we can stand firm against the enemy with and have victory. Would you stand with me today? I would like everybody, if they could, as they stand, to just bow their heads and close their eyes. I have one serious question that I want to ask as we finish up today. As we pray and as we ponder this invitation time, do you have the peace of Christ within your heart? Do you have the peace of Christ within your heart? Do you have absolute confidence in the fact that God loves you, that Jesus paid the price for you, that He has saved you, that He has called you to live in His peace? Now here it is. If you're not sure today of the peace of Christ within your heart, if that is something you're not sure of today, you need to look no further. You can be. You can be. You can be at complete peace and confidence in Christ today. You can be sure. You can be strong in Him. So I invite you right now, if you don't have peace with God in your heart, give your life over to Jesus Christ. Trust in Him as your Savior and your Lord. If you are in need of peace with God through relationship with Jesus Christ, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're in need of relationship with Jesus today, say, Peter, I need peace with God. You just lift your hand up high. Anybody at all today saying, I need peace with God. I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. I need peace with God. I need peace with God. I want to ask those who are in the battle this question. Those of you who are believers in the army of God, are you wearing the right shoes today? Are you wearing the right shoes today? Or are you struggling with finding and having the perfect Prince of Peace in your life? Know that the victory is already yours through Christ Jesus. Don't listen to the accusations. Don't fall under His attack. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm going to pray with you, and if God's leading you to respond today to the message, you're certainly welcome to come. I'd love to minister to you. Lord, I pray now that we would see in Your Word, but Your Word would also look within us and answer that question. God, do I have peace with You? The only way that we're going to have sure peace, a sure footing in the battle, is to have a relationship with You. And so, Lord, I want to pray that if there's someone today that has never trusted in Jesus, that doesn't have the peace of God reigning within their heart, within their life, that they would give their life to You now. They would surrender all to You now. They would say, Lord, I'm in need of Your forgiveness. I want to be on Your side. I want to be in Your family. I pray, God, that You would forgive me of my sins. I believe in what Jesus came to do for me. I believe that Christ paid the price for my sins. I believe that He came, He died, He arose again so that I can be saved. And today, Lord, I want to trust in Your peace.